Thank you. This is our quarterly meeting with the various different groups, and I'm pleased to be joined by Jim and Keturah. And we don't have a federal member here today because we have to...
David was here.
Oh, he was?
He'll be back down in a moment.
Oh, okay. Okay. He hasn't been sworn in yet, but he will be sworn in today, and so then we will have a full complement. So I want to thank you all for coming out, and I know we had an excellent meeting just the other day with the whole group, and I really appreciate everybody coming to that meeting and discussing many of the topics that were there. So should I turn it over to you?
Actually, AAC is going to go first, so I'm going to turn it over to Patrick.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. And, sir, that was a very good speech. As a matter of fact, we're going to invite you to come speak to the AAC, and I think they would like to hear the same thing you said to the RAC.
Sure.
I think it was very effective. We've got about four or five things on our agenda. I'll jump through them fairly quickly. Any questions you have, please interrupt, and we can move forward. Try to answer those, meet your needs. First thing regarding lighting. We appreciate, as we've said in the past, the support that you have given us as far as the lighting project is concerned. We know we are a little bit behind schedule as far as some of the stations that that are being done. We understand the reasons why. One of the asks is that we have is that when we're doing stations, if there are possibilities to upgrade the lighting in those stations as we're working on those stations, that would be great.
Okay.
Regarding customer safety, the members of the AAC have indicated, and I think along with everybody else, safety is a real concern. We did get a briefing regarding Metro Police, what they do, how they work, their association with the police force and their interaction. An ask in that situation would be further use of CCTVs and cameras, having the police being sensitive to people with disabilities would be very helpful. We understand the constraints that they're under. Anything that can be done to improve safety within the system, I think is going to help people with disabilities feel more comfortable to use the system. Anecdotally, we hear that there are issues. People don't really feel safe. And that goes along with people with disabilities. Regarding the Select Pass program, the idea of choice with the Select Pass program, I think is great. I think the what we've seen as far as the pilot program and it being rolled out is good. The AAC would like to see that in the next version of this program be rolled out to and apply to disabled fares too. I think the same logic that applies to the standard fares as far as Select Pass is concerned should be applied to disability fares. We think it's a great program, and congratulations on that innovation. A couple of things. I have an item here called fare policy, and it relates to the SafeTrack. And I know the RAC has also come up with a letter. Basically, we agree with what the RAC has indicated in their letter. I also understand, I think it's been addressed in the media, and you certainly have your opinions based on fair policy issues. We did get a brief the other day concerning SafeTrack. One of the issues that we had, of course, was that the fast metro access fares are calculated on the fastest route combination of bus and rail, and that the rail may not be the fastest way to get there. So we were informed that with respect to rail fares, that the trip planner would be adjusted 1 week before 1 week before track work would be done, so that could reflect the real-time times as far as rail is concerned. So it may be in the affected areas that the fastest, the calculation for Metro Access might be a bus route during those track times, during those track repair times. With respect to one of AAC's recommendations in a letter that we sent to Mr. Wiedefeld was that we proposed that the calculation be based on twice the bus. Not sure if that can be done twice the bus for the period while we're going through this renovation piece. Not sure if that can be done, but we do appreciate the fact that the calculation on the fare side at least is being reflected in the trip planner. So for those affected areas that are under track work, that we will be able to get to at least get a realistic price on you know, for Metro Access. So we appreciate that. Jumping down a little bit further on the agenda, as far as emergency exercises, we have been talking about the use of waivers. I'm not sure. We have some individuals who would like to be able to participate in the safety exercises, but the use of the waivers has precluded some of our people from doing that because they're just not comfortable in signing waivers. I'm not sure if anything can be done with respect to the waivers. Perhaps it's something we can take a look at to see if that is mandatory. I would say that two things as far as the safety exercises are concerned. One, there has been a request from the disability community in general to be able to participate within those exercises. I understand that primarily the exercises are designed so that first responders, firefighters can get experience. But we also have a need for the disability community to understand what their roles and responsibilities are and how to move forward. On a bright note, I have a friend within Montgomery County, within the state of Maryland. I know D.C. has a representative, and Virginia also has a representative, who are emergency prepared experts working with WMATA to ensure that for people with disabilities, you have consistent training, consistent requirements, consistent analysis of what is going on with these safety exercises. So all three areas, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, are communicating with respect to what information should be given to first responders and firefighters, WMATA personnel. And that's a real plus. They appreciate it being consulted, and they've been working with WMATA folks to make sure that the product that is being sent out to all three areas and, of course, within the jurisdictions is consistent, and that we can bring the safety exercises, be able to show general progress over time. Abilities Ride Program. I understand that we are in the process, have closed the RFI. We are in the process now of, or not we, but WMATA is in the process of evaluating those proposals. We are looking forward to being able to give input, perhaps in the statement of work or the scope of work when it comes out. We have some issues with respect to some of the ideas that have been floated, particularly the just the specific use of maybe and making the Abilities Ride program only using apps as far as iPhones, tablets, that sort of thing. That kind of access doesn't work for everybody with disabilities. Some people just cannot use a tablet, an iPhone. So we would like to be able to make sure that phone usage to be able to make rides, that sort of thing, isn't consistent. In general, making sure that ADA is followed. There have been issues, and I think they've been on the news lately, with respect to service animals and being passed up by, in this case, it was Uber. So there are a lot of issues like that, the number of rides that can be given in a day, and the fare calculation. So I think the AAC has been involved very extensively. We've had a lot of input from a lot of individuals that are looking at what is going to come out. The use of vehicles to have taxi access, I think, is going to be critical, making sure we have enough vehicles that can provide that. So we understand what the business requirements are. We understand why it's being proposed. We wish to continue to be consulted through the process so that when we roll something out, that is going to meet the needs of the disability community, and we're able to move forward with that. How am I doing on time? I've been rattling on here for about 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's all right.
Minutes.
Keep going.
All right.
At least you're moving.
Yes, we are moving. I don't know if I've missed anything, so Denise Oliver, if I've missed anything in, as far as he is concerned. And then lastly, I think on my list, two more things. One is the emergency gates. As we understand, they had been locked. They are now unlocked. So we appreciate that. But I think also in working with Mr. Kent and his group, we're looking at a more permanent solution because we understand the fare evasion issue. We're working with them to put together a more permanent solution so that individuals who are using who are Metro Access eligible but using the fixed route system can go through the standard gates. And I think for using a smart trip card that does not have fare on it, so that you keep the free fare aspect of that moving forward. Something we're working with Mr. Kent and his people on, and they'll come before our committee. So we do appreciate that kind of cooperation. We appreciate being able to give our input to a plan like that before it hits the street. And so we thank you and thank his office for working us into that part of the solution. Lastly, on the safe tracks, we have received a very good briefing at our last meeting. And we are, I think, pretty much up to speed on that. I think an area in general that is a very big interest to us is ensuring that communication continues to be primary. One of the areas that we're looking at that we have considered a problem, but I think that it's going to be resolved and we'll look at that, are making sure that we have whiteboards for deaf individuals so they can ask questions and also receive information. Two-way communication, whether you're working with the deaf, you're working with the blind, you're working with folks in wheelchairs, is important. Anything that we can do to get individuals out there who can assist with communications, who are sensitive to the needs of people with disabilities, I think is critical. I also think that having a way for individuals to be able to express their needs, if we have disabled people that have certain needs that weren't met in this first surge, we would like to be able to figure out what those needs are so that they can be addressed in surge 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But I think AAC is very pleased with the level of communication that we have received so far on SafeTrack. We want to be involved. We want to be engaged. We know there are going to be bumps in the road, but we're pleased to work in partnership with the disability community, WMATA, and the board to make sure that we can minimize those. And we just don't know what they are going to be right now. We think, from what we've seen, I haven't heard too many complaints, but that's just me.
If I may, Mr. Patrick.
Yes.
If I can go back to the agenda on the second item when we refer about customer safety on Metro Rail, Metro Bus, and Metro Access, we also would like to highlight the fact that to deliver an effective customer safety, it is important to have an efficient customer communication. Therefore, we would like to recommend that this recommendation be consistent in terms of communication through the PIDS, P-I-D-S, if I didn't pronounce that right, the key IDS, but also through the station managers about the safety track, and maybe after the safety track program. And also, we would like to recommend the use of ambassadors, staff, and travel trainers during the metro stations. I have seen maybe once or twice in the different metro stations one or two folks doing this kind of work, and it is it really facilitates the navigation of the metro for those who are not only people with disabilities, but those who are just visitors and tourists. And in terms of the Select Pass program, I would like to say that when Mr. Patrick refers to people with disabilities, we understand it's for those who have the reduced fare program. that they have this access to use Metro and bus, but if they can also be included into the Select Bus program and not only for regular riders. I do not know if there is something else that we should do.
I think, Mr. Patrick? No, I think that, I think you, there I am. I think that the two areas you just brought up clarified what I said, so maybe I wasn't as clear as you were, Elver, and I appreciate that. Denise, anything from your side? Okay. I think I just went through 20 minutes without taking a breath.
You did good.
Reactions, thoughts?
Okay, thank you very much. I have a question myself. Is this an official meeting that I have to approve the agenda and all and the minutes and all this? It's looking on my thing here, but I'm not sure. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, now that you have a quorum.
Yes, now that I have a quorum, I can do that. Okay, thank you. Let me do the administrative stuff, and then we'll come right back to you. We have an agenda. I'm looking at this thing on Diligent, but it has, says February 25th, but it appears it might be today's with the wrong date on it. So I would move the agenda. Is there a discussion of the agenda? Seeing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, I'll move the approval of the minutes for February 25th. Now, do I move these other ones, February 11th, all these other
ones? Yes, all the old committees got rolled up into here. So
okay.
And block.
And block. The minutes for the 25th, February 11th, and February 25th. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Second that?
Oh, second. any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Okay, and then we've gone to the your report, and so we're back to you again. Any questions for the items that we just heard by anybody on the board or Mr. Wiedefeld, any comments on any of this stuff? Or
I think, Patrick, we continue to work with the committee on a lot of these issues. I mean, they're works in progress. Some of those we've knocked down. Others we're exploring. Like, for instance, the whiteboards that we've ordered them. For instance, I know that. I made that commitment last time I was in front of the board. So we'll just continue to chip away at all these things that they've raised.
Okay.
And I'd also like to thank Mr. Wiedefeld for meeting with members of the disability community to spend an hour of his time with an hour and a half of his time with us. And a group that's really worked on the lighting a lot with folks with low vision. And with everything else going on, I thought that was pretty incredible that he had the time to do that, came in fully prepared, had some great suggestions. And that's the kind of attention to detail and sensitivity that we appreciate from the board, general manager, ADAP staff, Christian Kent. That's why we can do what we do.
Okay. So. Well, thank you very much for your report. Yes, Jim?
Paul or Patrick, could you, the whiteboards, could you explain that to me? How that's, just, I know what the whiteboard is, but how it works. Are the whiteboards in the stations or are they given to riders?
We're going to put them in the kiosk, basically, so if there's any issues, any communication issues, we
so
can
every,
use the whiteboards.
At every station.
That's what we're doing.
Right.
Okay.
And
so
the,
it's a handheld.
And the, having the ability for the deaf person to write out and ask the question to the station manager, where we've seen where there is information being given out to by station managers, and that information is good. But if you're deaf and the only way you can communicate is to write something, you've got to have that two-way communication.
Right.
So that's the key for the whiteboards. That's been something that we have been working towards for, let's say, 6 months. I think it's great, low-tech communication. A lot of the other PIDs and that sort of information is critical, and I think that's great. I'm sure that will be kept up. But for the deaf community, this is a critical ask. Mm-hmm. And I think that SafeTrack only highlights it even further as a need that we can, should do, and it's going to make a huge difference to that community. So.
Okay.
Beautiful. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, back to you.
Thank you. I want to first start by introducing the two vice chairs because not everybody at the table necessarily knows them. I secretly introduced them to all of you before we met. But Thaddeus Johnson is on my right, and he is the DC vice chair. And he was, I believe, at most, if not all, of the February meeting we had, the three of us with you. Okay, and Bob Vogel is the Maryland vice chair and was not able to attend February, so he's maybe new face to you. I want to also thank, as Patrick did, Mr. Ryan, Mr. Wiedefeld, and Ms. Bowersox, all three of you at different times came to the RAC and spoke to us and spent an hour or more of your time. And that's something that is a very important thing, that all of the RAC members have a face to, and a face and an interaction with somebody who they may see on TV or read emails from, because it's just, instead of being the board or the staff, it's human beings, and it's a great thing. So I'm going to have a real hard act to follow with as fast as Patrick talked, but I'll give it my very best. The back two pages of the packet, I don't know if you have a physical packet, the board members, or if you have something online, but the back two pages are the work plan for this year for the RAC. I am not intending to walk you through it. I'm more pointing it out because on the left is what we presented to you at the Executive Board Committee in February, and then our updates as of the end of May are on the right side. You'll see a few things that are in red highlights. Those are things where we aren't ready to make a formal presentation of a lot of research and facts, but there are some areas where we have already taken it upon ourselves to say we have some recommendations, such as, I know Patrick talked some about the Select Pass. We have received feedback that riders are receiving it warmly, but there are still a lot of employers, third-party software people and employers that are not providing it for the staff. So we would like to have more focus. We want to help see if we can tackle the list with the staff, if that's something we can do. We know that the past products could well be a big part of the future, and we'd like to be a part of that to make it successful even more than it is with the few people that are on it now during the pilot. One of our conversations with Lynn was about communications with SafeTrack, and we had pointed out not only is it critical, as Patrick mentioned, that the riders all get lots of information from lots of different sources, you know, the what, the who, and the how, but also the employees. The staff are critical people that the riders, when they're in a point of confusion, are going to go to the station managers and say, what's happening and what should I do and where's the shuttle and all of that sort of thing. We understand there's mobile application work that's going to be coming up, and we would love to be a part of the planning discussions for that. That's a preliminary thing. And also, in terms of a lot of work going on with the data for our third-party developers, we would like to recommend a formal and transparent issue tracking mechanism, because we have at times heard of issues where they're not generating the right result for riders, the right facts for the riders, and if they have an issue, regardless of what the source of the issue is, some help so that they can get it resolved. That's the only walkthrough on this I'm giving you. If you have any questions, I mean, I can wait for you to digest it as you choose, and I'm just going to jump on to the next item.
Questions, comments?
Okay. The second thing on our part of the agenda is support from the staff for the RAC and our interaction with staff. We interact in the course of our year with many of the people on the staff, and I think I want to take a stroll back through history, a small, quick one, for some of you on the board that are newer, in that John Pasek was originally our coordinator on the staff for several years, and he was what appeared to us to be full-time, but I think, in fact, he had other things he was doing in the board secretary's office. But he was a support person. And then when he got his recent promotion, then we had James was someone that was on staff, a new person for a while. And when he left for another position in another company, we've had Joy, I don't know if Joy is here today, but Joy Moore and Jason Minzer have been our two staff people. But our needs were actually greater than Jason could support with and still have full-time focus on his own marketing and research work. So we have Joy alone right now, although Lynn has graciously agreed to, I call him our senior council or something, a quarterly advisory basis. She plans to meet with us. But we would like a consideration of having a staff model that's more similar to the AAC than what we have today. And that's why I really put two things on the agenda. I said staff support and interaction with staff, because one of them can sometimes substitute for the others. It's what we do in one area or what the decision is in one area can affect the other. We would love to have someone, you know, I think of Joy as part-time doing some of what B does for the AAC, and we would love to have someone that's in a management role that can also run interference for us with staff if we have something, for instance, that takes the cooperation of two or three different departments or teams, someone that can work on that toward something we're trying to put into place. We also currently, all requests for information from staff go through Joy, and then she tries to find the right person, like it's Mark Schofield when we're dealing with some of the fair budget issues, and it's Sham on other things and so forth. And she can go get those people, but to come and present to us or respond to an email. But in the things that we're working on, typically it's not just send an email and we're done. It's a dialogue, it's an interaction. So we would love to have more direct contact with, once a person has been identified for each of our things that we're working on, to be able to interact a little more freely with that person, so obviously not interfering with their main role and why they're on the staff, but it would be our preference to have more latitude to work with them. If somebody says, for instance, okay, just anytime you're dealing with the fares on the budget, always deal with Mark, and then we can just, it's not just send him an email and get an answer or just come a week and a half from now to a committee meeting. It's just be able to talk to him, be able to send emails back and forth, that sort of thing.
Paul, is that doable?
I do want to have a point of contact, you know, just to manage it internally, excuse me, and then we have to balance it against other things that people are doing and other priorities from, you know, from the local jurisdictions, from the board. So that's, you know, that's the issue.
Okay.
So we'll continue to work with them,
okay.
But I can't commit to, you know, applying someone, excuse me, full-time all the time for these different things. And I do want a point of contact so we just don't have people reacting throughout the whole agency. I just don't think that's a good way to manage it.
Okay.
And when I did say direct in contact, I was not advocating for 21 individual RAC members to talk with any of 100 different
gotcha.
People. It was more chairs of committees or chair, you know. And that sounds fine. We
okay.
there was something else I was going to add. Oh, one thing I want to add is that in just the couple of years since John was the coordinator, I think it would be very safe to say the nature of the RAC membership has changed a great deal. I think the new members are far more involved, committed, passionate about making a difference for the writers, you know, of the area. And being the chair both last year and this year, even between last year and this year, there's been a radical change in the amount of things that we're trying to discuss and churn through and make recommendations on. Work plan is a reflection of that. These are the topics, you know, that we've tried to tackle for this year. I can't remember, it's 15 or 20 or something. And so we are trying to have a faster rate of travel. I think all of WMATA is doing that. There's just more things to be juggling than there ever were before,
right.
Just because of all the things coming at WMATA and things going on. So we don't think it's the same world that needed less support. I think that was fine then, and with a new generation of members, I think it's more important. So we'll be glad to just continue those discussions. We want to just get your take on that. And
sure.
And we also appreciate that you personally have offered and encouraged us to send ideas to you through, Tom and I are still going to work out the email process about whether you batch them up or whatever, but thank you
right.
for that. So anything more about that, anything that you want to add, Bob? I think you had some points you wanted to add. Put you on the spot, huh?
I'll make them up, though.
No.
Well, I do agree with Barbara wholeheartedly that it would be very helpful to have a somewhat senior person available to us at our meetings and in between our meetings to advocate for on our behalf. Within the bureaucracy of WMATA, I think is Chairman Evans mentioned at the last, at our last meeting, when he was there, when he attended and spoke, at times it's hard to get information out of the WMATA bureaucracy. And I think we found that to be the case in terms of some of our questions. And you need a person who has some juice to go to the bureaucracy and get that done. I think there's a certain level of frustration, perhaps, developing among our members that we're not getting the feedback and we're not getting it on a timely basis. And
no, I think that's been made loud and clear. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Now, our only constraint is I have to leave it. We have to start our board meeting at 10,
right.
So we can rack up by 5 of 10, and I apologize. We have started
five
late
till, okay.
Because
no,
of my being late
second,
because
okay.
of the Metro train.
One of the other topics, probably won't be as lengthy to discuss as that, though, is RAC recommendations to the board. With new members on the board side and with some of us being new, we thought it was a good time to evaluate how we are interacting, not necessarily about the quarterly meetings, but you've already talked about how we can interact differently with the email. But when we do make formal recommendations where we've done some research and worked on something for a month or so and we have a two-page document that says this is what we would like to recommend, we were hoping that we could come up with just some basic agreements about when we do present it, whether it's at one of these meetings or it may often be just off this cycle, that we could have an understanding of what's a reasonable amount of time for our response. I mean, if you can tell us when we're here, like, I hate that idea, or I love that idea, that's, you know, you have the right to make your call. The sooner we know so that it affects what else we're working on and what we're pursuing. So we didn't know, we thought maybe there would be, we could agree that maybe a standard time to evaluate a recommendation is some number you can pick, whether it's 30 days or whatever. Although I imagine there'll be times where we may suggest something and you say, no, that can be done this week, you know, and sometimes mm-hmm. it's, boy, this is going to take a lot of thought, it's going to take longer. But what I would like to do is to make it more of a point when we do provide you something, whether it's at this meeting or in writing, that we ask at that time, what's a reasonable amount of time for you to respond to us?
Okay.
Is that sort of process okay with you?
Yes.
Do you think that the 30 days as a ballpark is a
I think it's on a case-by-case basis.
Right.
I mean,
okay.
You're right.
That's
sometimes
fine.
It can be quick. Sometimes it'll take longer.
Okay. And so we'll send you recommendations, and I understanding is that Jennifer or John would be a point of
right.
contact that we'd say, hey, you know, it's been a while. Do you have any update? Like they haven't considered it, or they're going to do it. I think sometimes you may refer them to your own committees. If we have a fair thing, maybe you'd send to. I don't know that, but you'd have to tell us. Whatever the timeline is, just to understand it so we can follow up and know whether it's a yes or no.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anything more about that?
Yeah,
Bob?
I'd like to add to that. I think a process is very in any organization, having a process in place to respond to concerns is essential. We assume one of the most important things that the RAC does is advise the board, and we advise the board through occasionally making formal recommendations. I assume, but I may be incorrect, that when we make a recommendation to the executive committee at this on a quarterly basis, that the recommendation perhaps goes to the committee of jurisdiction within the WMATA board and then works its way up to the board to act on. But I don't know that to be the case. So not only is it helpful for us to have a timeline to understand when we might get a response back, but I think it's essential or important that we understand what the process is. I mean, if it's complicated, I think we could have patience in terms of how long it's going to take. But if it's just a matter of getting one person to make a response, then of course, as Barbara said, it should be done in a more timely basis. So it would be useful to me to either have a written process or be aware of what the process is when we make a recommendation.
Let me comment. This is just me commenting. My colleagues may have a comment as well. 13 of the 16 board members have been here less than 2 years. So we're learning as you're learning. Of the 13, half have been here less than a year. We have new committees, a new general manager, so these are great comments for us because then we can take them. And in answer to your question, is there a process? I'm not aware there is one. But there may be one, but I'm not aware there is one. So we will have to sit down as a board with the general manager and work it out and then work with you to make sure the process works. I mean, that's the best I can tell you at this point in time. We're a relatively new organization now. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to be inventing things as we go along. That's why your comments are so helpful. That's when I said at your meeting, I want to hear from you, the riders, everybody, so we can incorporate that into how we operate here. So I don't know if Jim and Katura have any.
Yeah, I would say the same thing on other committees that we're working with today, Bob. Sometimes, so I chair the audit committee. Well, it's not the audit committee's job to fix things, it's to identify them. And if something has to be fixed, then that has to be recommended to another committee. And so the same thing here, it's not necessarily our job to fix them, we have to refer them to the proper, to the proper committee or place within the staff of the organization. So there is some channeling of those requests.
Thank you. Anything more? You're okay, okay. All right, I'll go on to our last agenda item, and that's social media. Give the 30-second history in that last fall, the RAC in place at the time, some of those members are now gone, had put forth a recommendation. It was just before Christmas. And went to the board. And we know that the staff, I think someone with either you or within your organization had also, just even actually prior to that, sent information about your concerns about the RAC having its own social media presence. And we tried to discuss it in February, but because three out of the four of you present had never seen it, you may not have seen it. You certainly weren't on the executive committee when we made that presentation or that sent you that. We tabled it for another time, and in the email that you sent us, that Jennifer had forwarded to us from you, you mentioned let's talk about it at this meeting. I'm sorry that I have brought it up now with 5 minutes to go before we're done. But it's one of those things that, again, we know that just as we totally respect your right to say, you know, yeah, I know the writers would love to have Safe Track fares frozen, but it's just not something you can do. On the social media, it's just something that we want to understand if that's something that you support or don't for us to continue working toward that. We do know that there's more social media work that the staff is working on, and we would love to be very actively involved in what happens there. And I think we have a presentation that Joy is trying to set up for another month or two from now. But for our own presence, we just kind of want to know, what are your thoughts about that? I think it's also, John, I think it's in the packet today, too. Is it?
I think it's on diligent.
It's what?
It's on diligent.
Oh, okay. So it's something that was sent in December, and I don't know if you've had a chance to absorb it or not, but...
So, again, what is your...
The RAC would like to have a social media presence.
A social media
define
presence,
define which platform necessarily.
Okay.
So that we could say, hey, so we could have selected two-way communication. We could say, hey, everybody out there, tell us about what you think of X.
Right.
We're looking at this. Oh, and I'm sorry, Thaddeus is on the committee that has proposed this. So I was going to give him a chance to speak.
Okay.
So Barbara covered all of the facts, but just in general, what I wanted to say is that we're seeking to employ social media as a mechanism to enrich our relationship with riders and the general public. Because lots of times we see that we get information that helps, you know, the positive engagement, highlighting opportunities that might not be immediately apparent. So what we're looking for is to have a discussion with WMATA staff about what the parameters may be, what the concerns are, and to see how we can move forward.
Okay. Paul, is that something we can do?
Definitely, we can work with them. The only concern I have is we've got to make sure that, you know, whatever the official response of the agency is, the official response.
Yes.
You know, so obviously there's lots of social media outlets out there that people
yes.
comment and interact with about Metro and WMATA in general. But as a committee to the board, we just want to make sure that when they respond something, they're not responding for the board necessarily.
Yeah.
We got to work that out.
Okay.
And that's something that we're very sensitive to. We do not want to hear about the 29N bus being late last Thursday. That is not what we're looking for. We are not the customer service people. We are people that might occasionally say, you know, we've been thinking about this. Now, we know we do now have Amplify available to us that Jason and Lynn have said. We can utilize that to do some formal surveys to really get some things out. But right now, most people, I mean, I've been on RAC for 4 years. Most people, when I tell them what it is, they don't know that we exist. And, I mean, we can still advise you without them knowing we exist, but we could do a better job if they know about us.
Sure.
We can send out things that we would not be doing anything outside of what the staff would be doing. But we think knowing that there's this writers group, there are some people that they just assume deal with the officials, and there are others that they might think, well, let me hear what the writers group is saying, even if it's the same message. We just want to be an entity for them to relate to.
Okay, great. Jim?
Barbara, who actually is the facilitator of the message? Who is managing the social media accounts? Is it staff or is it...
Oh,
the volunteers.
I mean, the current one is staff totally.
No. If you
if we did it, we would be responsible for curating the content. We would only, you know, send out things that are, you know, not representing WMATA official unless it's an identical message. You know, it wouldn't be something that we'd be, you know, some rogue. But we would be more communicating and saying we exist. If you have suggestions or feedback you'd like us to hear about, a lot of people take those things to staff today, and that they can. But we also, when it's more of a long-term idea, like, you know, I really think we should consider color coding the whatever. And we would love to have them know we exist, and we would not be issuing lots of communications that are duplications of what the staff does. And we would manage it ourselves, but with a very carefully controlled authority to, you know, review process and approval.
And are you comfortable that you have the bandwidth to manage that? I mean, it could overwhelm.
What do you
think, James? I know you all do this full time.
Well, it depends on the platform. Like right now, I don't imagine doing something like Twitter because it's so fast.
Right.
And people on Twitter expect a back and forth. If, for instance, we started out with a static Facebook page where we're not encouraging back and forth communication, that is something that the RAC should be able to manage.
Okay.
It would be targeted requests, like just tell us specifically about this or, you know, or that sort of thing, not unstructured, send everything to us and we'll send lots to you.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay, we've got a minute left.
How do you feel about the concept? Are you in support of our being an entity that can be recognized as the RAC on social media?
From my personal perspective, yes. I think it's a great idea. I think you're right. I think you're not as well known as you should be. You need to be better known, get more information that can then be helpful to us as we move forward and try and address the issues facing the system. So, yes, as I said at the meeting, the most important thing for me is get information from the riders. Like my own experience today, it's you know, frustrating, it makes you angry, and how does it happen, and, you know, how do we build a system that if somebody gets sick, the whole system closes down until we get the person off the train, you know, how do we do this better as we go forward? And I think hearing from people and experiencing it firsthand is very important, and I know from board members, Paul, everybody, that's what we need to do. So, yes, we're in support, and as Paul mentioned, we just have to make it, and you mentioned, make it work so it makes sense.
My concern is your volunteers.
Yes.
And
when
you walk away a year from now or five years from now, what happens to the continuity of it? And Lynn, I'm sort of addressing this to you. If there was something that was set up under the Rider Advisory Committee, could it be managed through by staff? So at least the content, there's an awareness of what the communication content is going back and forth. That would be my concern, is that things get out in left field and never sees the light
of
day.
And before she answers, let me also say that, of the three members of the RAC who were really the ones that authored this document, all three took other jobs that took them away from the RAC, and they're not with us. But Thaddeus is still part of that same committee and is still supporting it. So we, and I want to also say, we have... we've built some really good relationships with some very specific people within the staff, and the topics that we've had today are not, I'm not in any way trying to say anything different. We just think there are some ways that we could do better, and we could do better. We don't feel right saying, hey, staff, you've got to work on this with us, because we don't know if it's something you support. So that's why we're bringing them up here today before we take it further with staff.
Okay.
So I would say to Mr. Corcoran's concern, we could serve as technical advisors to the RAC in trying to frame their Facebook presence and put some protocols around it to figure out how they want to communicate and how to maintain the continuity of their message, and then let them have it be in their voice. I think that's important for the purposes that they want to collect rider information, but we could certainly provide technical advice in thinking through how to create it and how to maintain it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, thank you all very much. As I mentioned at your meeting, I certainly look forward to coming to your meeting and speaking to you, and I'm gonna make a request of the directors that they make an effort to attend your regular monthly meetings. You know, there's 16 of us, so maybe one or two can come out to a meeting every time we have a meeting, something like that to increase the interaction between the board and all of you. Okay?
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Meeting's adjourned.